This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Kevin has a question for you, and he says, would you trade Dak for this? 877-881-1053. Without knowing, give me your answer, yes or no.
Ooh, that's a great question.
Because there are a lot of people that are like, yes, I don't even care what it's for. Can we get a bag of peanuts? There are a lot of people that are like, no, I absolutely love Dak Prescott, and I want to keep him around. So I want to see, without knowing, would you trade Dak for this? Kevin will present to you in just a moment.
But I also know what it is, okay. So I'm at an advantage.
In a moment, Kevin will present an option of a package of something that a reporter up in Chicago suggested.
Yep.
I am going to first off, because I don't even know what it is. I don't know what it is yet, so I'm going to say no, because you need a quarterback in this league. All right. I don't even know what the option is.
They're trading us Mitch Trubisky.
I don't know anything. I'm going to still say no.
It looks like Romo with his helmet on.
All right. He does. Shippy, without knowing what the option is, would you trade Dak for this?
I can't. No, I wouldn't.
Okay. All right. He says no as well.
Because he was on my fantasy team.
Okay. All right.
Did he win? You could still use him as a fantasy quarterback, but you just think he'll be no good with the Bears, or maybe the Bears were no good because Trubisky was no good.
Yes.
Now, one of the things that I love about this station is we continue to seek options and opportunities. And Kevin, whenever we started the show, you and I, we were working together at a newspaper, and we sat in a cube next to each other.
Yep.
I've had many people, many Tolos, tell me that our show sounds like two guys in an office. And that's what I've always wanted it to sound like.
Oh, yeah,
just a couple guys that are, you know, just kind of at work talking about the same things that other Tolos are out there talking about. The other option I've always said is we want to basically sound like we're at a bar and people want to join the conversation at the bar. And that's, we invite y'all to join the conversation. And that's one of the reasons that topics like these go so far. I think they do because it's an idea. It's not reporting a fact about anything. It's a conversation of something that might be a better option and it might not be. And it causes arguments. Lots of yeses coming in, Kevin. Lots of yeses.
That's pretty surprising.
They don't even know what the offer is.
Man, I really
want... Bunch of haters.
That is like, I said yes just because I know what the offer is. But just knowing like, oh, there's a trade? Sure. That's a little concerning.
I feel weird just being like, yes, trade our franchise quarterback. Even though I don't know what we're getting back.
Yeah, I also am concerned about that. However, I will tell you this.
Tell me.
Keep in mind, and this was brought up by a Chicago reporter, keep in mind the Bears have a track record of making big-time trades for quarterbacks that some people think are not that great. Back in 2009...
Vince McMahon.
They traded... No, not Jim McMahon. They traded...
Rex Grossman?
Two first-round picks, a third-round pick, and Kyle Orton for Jay Cutler.
Ooh.
Hey, he got him to the Super Bowl.
Jay Cutler did?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yes.
What?
Really?
How?
Or do we give that
to Rex Grossman?
Are we giving that to Grossman?
Rex Grossman, dude.
Does Jay Cutler not get any credit for that? Wasn't he in the mix? All right.
I thought that was all Grossman.
Okay.
And defense.
Well, you know what? My apologies. I need to go back and restudy my Chicago Bears history of the last decade. I thought Jay Cutler's part of that crew.
I'm going to rewatch that whole season.
Well, either way, so it didn't work out super well for them. So the problem with getting two first-round picks is the Bears don't have a first-round pick this year because they're still paying off the Khalil Mack deal. So instead, the proposed package for Dak Prescott, the Chicago Bears will trade their two second-round picks this year, number 43 and number 50, as well as their first-round pick in 2021 for Dak Prescott. All right? So that means the Dallas Cowboys would have four of the top 51 picks in this year's NFL draft, and they would also have two first-round picks in the 2021 draft.
Kevin, give it to me one more time.
All right. The Chicago Bears are sending you their two second-round picks this year, number 43 and number 50, as well as their first-round pick in 2021 for Dak Prescott. So you get two twos and next year's one for Dak Prescott. Now, the obvious downfall of this entire plan is, well, then you do not have currently a starting quarterback, and I understand that. The ammunition to figure that out or the ammunition to start rebuilding the next phase of your team would be you have four of the top 51 picks in this year's draft, including picks 43, 50, and 51. You would have at least two picks as of now in the 2021 first round of the draft, and you wouldn't have to pay Dak Prescott. The 817, yes. From the 916, that's a good trade. From the 229, make that trade right away.
Kevin, I'm having a hard time with this one.
Oh, it's pushing back from the 469. I doubt it. From the 214, hell no. And from the 469, so they're done with Mitch Trubisky. So this writer in particular up in Chicago is, and the word going around is that Chicago, at least in the short term, might kind of be done with Mitch Trubisky because they've been kicking the tires, like asking around about Brady, Rivers, Cam. So that doesn't necessarily mean they're done with Trubisky forever, but I think Dak would signal that they're done with him forever.
Hi, and this is the argument, Kevin. Anyone that thinks Dak is worth $34 million is out of their mind. Trade him this year. He's going to suck this year, and then draft high next year and pick Sunshine from Clemson.
Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, if you can guarantee the number one pick.
Which I cannot.
Then, of course, I say go get Trevor Lawrence. And if you think they're out of their mind, it's not. Listen to Michael Irvin when he says CAA wants to prove that they can get the money. And Jerry's willing to spend the money. Jerry's just playing the waiting game with it. That's what's happening here. I love the idea of getting picks, Kevin. I really do. Especially getting an extra first-round pick. Man, yep. Because there's nothing like having an extra first-round pick because you can do so much with it. You can trade up. You can use it in so many different ways.
And just for people that are asking, they're like, why can't I have this year's first round pick if you missed the very beginning? They're still paying off the Khalil Mack deal. So that's why it's not this year's. For people who are like, I want this year's. They don't have a first round pick.
I feel like Dak has gotten a little better at something every year, but I don't know, Kevin, if I feel like he is the franchise quarterback. Because I don't know if he can go out there and will the team to wins on his own. He didn't this year. He tried, but the team wasn't there. They fell apart. They gave up on their coach or whatever. They were just bad. And he needs a really good defense to make a run.
Sure.
And I got to a point in Romo's career where I was like, okay, I'm kind of done with that. I'm not quite there yet with Dak. But I don't want to find out in 5 years that I am there with Dak and that I was like, crap, I should have cut bait a long time ago.
Yeah.
I love a lot of qualities about him, but arm talent has got to be one of the key factors to everything. So I would be willing to make this trade. I got to figure out who my quarterback's going
to
be.
Now, I want to point this out. The way you came to that conclusion, like, you clearly really thought about it. It was well-reasoned. From the 469, y'all are crazy acting like starting quarterbacks grow on trees, but I don't think, like, that wasn't my takeaway from what you said at all. You didn't go, yes, sell, sell, sell. Let's make that trade. You, like, clearly walked it through.
Because I want that.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. I want him to be elite.
And
but he's not.
Exactly.
And it's hard to come to that conclusion, especially if you think, an elite quarterback is what you need to win a Super Bowl.
And that's what I think you need to win the Super Bowl here. You need a cheap quarterback or an elite quarterback. That has been my thought all along. All right? And so, unfortunately, while I think Dak is very good, he is not elite, which I think is something that most people could agree on. And after this year, he's no longer cheap. I was fine rolling with Dak because I was like, he's good enough to win a Super Bowl, especially since he didn't cost anything for the last 4 years. That's why I'm going to make this deal. It's not because I don't think that Dak is a good quarterback. It's not because I don't think that Dak has earned his contract, because he absolutely has. And if you put him out on the open market, he would get the newest, biggest contract in the history of the NFL instantaneously. My issue is, when all things are equal, and I've said this time and again, I do not believe that the Cowboys could win. So I think they need an elite quarterback or a cheap quarterback. And Dak is no longer either. He's not one of those things anymore, and he's never been the other thing. That's why I would make that deal. You're telling me I have four of the top 51 picks in this year's draft and two first in next year's draft to make some moves. Think about what that could facilitate. You could facilitate swapping next year's first from the Bears and one of those twos for Jamal Adams. Now, all of a sudden, you've traded Dak Prescott for a second-round pick and Jamal Adams, if that was the direction that you felt like you wanted to go. Or you could just redraft and start the next phase of the Cowboys and think about picking up your quarterback later because you're going to pick up a short-term like Brady or, you know, Carr or Cam or whoever in the short-term before you get your next real. I think it opens up a lot of possibilities.
From the 817, there are like 2 to 3 elite quarterbacks. And from the 972, Corey, how many teams have elite quarterbacks? And I think the point is, yeah, if there are 2 or 3 elite quarterbacks, those are the teams that are consistently in the conversation realistically for a Super Bowl. That's what I'm trying to get to. Like, it's great that we built a team that can sometimes get into the playoffs. And I know we're baiting a lot. We're putting a lot on Mike McCarthy being the one that consistently gets them into the playoffs. But once you get to that point of you're consistently there, now you need something that's going to take you over to the top to get to the championship games. And so, yes, you need an elite quarterback for that. And you think just settling for a good quarterback is going to be the key? I don't think so. I think that's the difference between the Super Bowl teams that are constantly in contention for it are constantly there because their quarterbacks can win games for them. Their war is enough to give a team 2-3 extra wins. And that win that makes the difference. So that's why I think you can't stop searching for an elite quarterback. That's just the way I feel about the search for it. You keep searching for an elite quarterback.
Dude, and I would take a look at this, and some people might find this questionable straight away, but historically, Tom Brady has usually been an elite quarterback. Just looking down this list, this is kind of fascinating. Here are the playoff teams. Patriots, they have an elite or cheap quarterback. Bills, elite or cheap quarterback. Ravens, elite or cheap quarterback. Titans, elite or cheap quarterback. Texans, it depends on what you think about Deshaun Watson. So they're kind of an outlier, but he also doesn't make all the money just yet. So elite or cheap quarterback. Kansas City, elite or cheap quarterback. Packers, elite or cheap quarterback. The Vikings are an outlier for sure. The Saints, elite or cheap quarterback. The 49ers are an outlier, and the Seattle Seahawks, elite or cheap quarterback. And then the Eagles are an outlier as well. So basically, 9 of your 12 playoff teams, you could make a really strong argument, have an elite or cheap quarterback. So that's 75% of your playoff teams have elite or cheap quarterbacks. And if the Cowboys would have made it instead of the Eagles, that would have been 10. Of your 12 teams. And so that's why I think I'm making this deal. It's and I was thinking about how many elite quarterbacks there are. I don't know, maybe 5, depending on what you think. I would throw Lamar Jackson in there, Pat Mahomes, maybe still Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Russell Wilson. Like, that might be my list of the 5 elite quarterbacks. And I just don't think that Dak is in those spots. And if you see the elite quarterback spots, Seattle, they made the playoffs. New Orleans, they made the playoffs. The Packers, they made the playoffs. The Chiefs, they made the playoffs. And the Ravens, they made the playoffs. So, like, elite or cheap quarterback is obviously the way to go. And if Dak's not going to be either one of those things, then I'm probably moving off of him. But I'm sure some people think he'll into that.
You know what, Shippy? Kevin's just over here being a negative Nancy again.
I know.
And hating all over Dak.
What?
And I'm changing my mind.
I thought that was...
I'm changing my mind, Kevin, because...
You're not going to trade him like me now, huh?
I'm keeping Dak forever.
Hell yeah.
You know what? Sign him to a 25-year contract and let's run this thing out
there.
That's too long. That's a long time.
It doesn't even make any sense.
Why not? What if he plays that long? You know, we have advances in technology, guys. So what I'm saying right now...
He never gets hurt.
Is sign him... Keep him and let him become elite. Will you wait until he becomes elite, Kevin?
And if he doesn't, what does your franchise do?
Did you not see what we did with Jason Garrett? You just put him out in the pasture and let him go to the Giants.
After 10 years? You willing to waste the next...
10 years?
You willing to waste the next 6 years?
It's going to be about 5.
Okay. You willing to waste the next 5 years?
Yes, Kevin, because Dak... can be elite. He definitely can be elite at some point. I think you're just a hater, and that's something that has been proven time and time again.
Somebody's mad. I already made Lamar Jackson an elite quarterback. He was the second unanimous MVP in the history of the
NFL.
He
was also cheap. So, like that.
Yeah.
That, like,
so yeah,
he could be cheap or
pick
elite.
Pick your poison. But just for the record, I said elite. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, Luka and Kristaps. How different the Mavs are with either one of them leading the way. Plus, are they going to pick up this player off the buyout market? Talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors and Kevin Hagelin. We got Shippy hanging out with us in studio as well. And it's just a lot of love with us and the Tolos out here as we set the table for the G-Bag Nation coming up at 2. By the way, at noon, in the noon o'clock hour, Kevin, we are giving away Rolling Stones tickets. So be prepared for the Rolling Stones band.
Like the real Rolling Stones?
Yes. Yes, the real Rolling Stones at the Cotton Bowl.
Wow.
So right here in the heart of Dallas.
Like Mick Jagger?
Yep, yes. Just like that. So we will be doing that at noon, so be ready for it. Could the Mavericks land another player that they didn't expect to be on this team?
I'm excited about
this. How much of a difference can he make? Kevin, over the weekend, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was waived by the Charlotte Hornets. Bobcats? Hornets?
Yes.
Are they the Bobcats now?
No, they're back to the Hornets.
Okay. He was waived. And they waived multiple people. Didn't they waive Marvin Williams, or they got rid of Marvin Williams as well? So they moved on from a lot of names.
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, too, by the way, in case you didn't know, he'll former number two pick in the draft.
He is, and the Mavericks are emerging as the favorite to get Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Their interest level is there, too, I think. And I feel like some people are like, hold on, we could have traded for Bogdan, you know, we could have traded for all these other people, and you're going to try and sell me Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Offensively, it hasn't worked out for him.
Yep.
Okay, his shot's weird.
He's an awful offensive player.
On the other side, though, on defense, he is a perimeter defender that is a star, okay? And I think that like, if you look at this Mavericks team right now, they need a guy that can be a lockdown defender on the perimeter. Now, the other thing is, okay, well, what's he going to do offensively? Most likely, Rick will say, be a 3-and-D guy. We need a guy that can hit three-pointers when passed to. And a lot of the guys that you're watching right now hit three-pointers for this Mavericks team have kind of just been thrust into that spot of go practice shooting three-pointers until you make them. And whenever you get the ball, don't be afraid to shoot it. But whenever you're called upon to play defense, do that job well. So I'm pretty excited that could be a possibility here.
And, man, MKG, you're right. He is an excellent defender, and that's what I'll tell you that he brings to the table. And Corey's right. Hopefully those offensive things would kind of start to display themselves. But if you look at next-level stats, the Mavericks are the most efficient offense in the entire league. So what a player brings to the table offensively is, it's not that I don't care, but that might not be at the top of my list of things that like we really have to get done. So if you tell me that for giving up no assets, we can bring in a good defender, he would instantly be the best defensive player in this team, like the second he signed. So yes, I'm fine with all of that. And he's not going to cost you anything. And he's still not that old.
Yeah. 26?
Yeah.
26 years old.
And he was drafted like 7 or 8 years ago.
And Kevin, you know, like, let's say that he does become a three-point shooter. Let's say that Rick Carlisle says, okay, defense, you're going to be on that. But you have to take, because that's what they do. They spread the floor and they shoot threes. All right, so you just feel comfortable knowing that nobody's going to be mad at you when you take your shot, because you have to take shots in this offense. So let's say he adds that, and he also can do what he does defensively and then becomes part of this team.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
Look at the core of the youth on this team.
You're right, too. And you know what? You know why I'm so glad that you said it like that is because people might scoff and be like, well, that's not going to happen. Really? Just like it wasn't going to happen with THJ? Like, nobody thought that. Look.
Did you think of Dorian Finney-Smith as an elite three-point shooter?
No.
Is he a better three-point shooter than you thought he would be?
Probably. Okay. But I like Hardaway as the example because you were forced to take him as a punishment. Like,
yes.
For real. You had to take Tim Hardaway as a punishment in the Kristaps deal because they were like, all right, we'll make that deal and cut you some slack, but you also have to take this player that we don't think is any good.
Mm-hmm.
And what have the Mavericks done? He's easily their third best player, right?
Yes.
Like, there's no question about that.
Right.
And so if you could do anything with Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, great. He's already going to be your best defender. And to Corey's point, if he even develops a competent three-point shot, fantastic. There's no loss to be had. Okay, so I'm going to pick up a 26-year-old who can drop a three when need be and is our best defender. Okay, what is it going to cost me? Oh, it cost me nothing? Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, so that's a potential. And it was over the weekend that Woj dropped the Woj bomb, and he was dropping bombs all weekend, by the way. That the Mavericks,
all these players got cut.
The Mavericks were the front runner to get him. I know Dragan Bender also he was made available, cleared waivers.
Like that?
So that's out there as well. Now, Kevin, here's the thing though. What we've seen is we have seen Luka playing exceptional when he's on the court, right?
Sure.
He's great.
Sure.
Not with Kristaps though.
Yeah.
Then we have Kristaps is playing very well without Luka around. And we got to figure out the reason. And I got a couple questions. Is the difference just the way, is it just because Porzingis just steps up when Luka's not around? And he was an alpha in New York, right? And since when Luka's not around, he's an alpha. Like he plays like the guy that he's supposed to play like. Or is it just, you know, finally shaking off that rust? He's finally found a little bit of a rhythm? Or does Rick Carlisle have some more work to do between the two of them?
I think it might be the last two scenarios that you threw out there. At least I hope it's not that they
both... The rust and Rick?
Yeah, I hope it's not just that, like, maybe they don't mesh as well as we all kind of hoped. But, no, I'm inclined to think that it's the other two scenarios that you threw out there is that he is finally breaking some of that rust off. I mean, he hadn't really played in almost 2 years. So, like, that makes sense to a certain extent. And then we're at that point now, you know? And then Rick Carlisle's stepping in, and he's also figuring it out. You can take all the great talent in the world, but you never know exactly how they're going to mesh. So I do really think that those are the two more likely outputs. I think you'll get the best answer for that once Luka comes back, because Luka is going to be out against the Jazz. But once he comes back, and obviously rolling into the All-Star break, you would think like the time is pretty darn close. Hopefully we'll get to see the new and improved Kristaps with the already beloved Luka and combo those together, and you'll be like, all right, here we go. Now we're ready to roll.
From the 817, Luka's a ball hog.
This is a weird position. I don't necessarily think that. I think that is too, believe it or not, I think that is too much of a negative connotation. Sometimes I think he makes unwise decisions with the basketball, with the three-pointers that he shoots, and I've said that time and again. He's the worst high-level three-point shooter in the league. But I don't think he's a ball hog.
Okay, I'll combat that with something that Rick Carlisle recently said in just a second, all right? But only twice has Kristaps scored more points with Luka than his average without him. He's averaging 16 points with him and 25.8 without Luka, all right? So, but only two times since when he plays with Luka has he even had more than that.
Huh.
All right. So it's, you know, you kind of look, he had 35 against the Rockets. They had a small ball lineup, right? And he had 38 against Indiana and then 32 against Memphis. And you're like, whoa, hold on. Like, this is, he's playing like a, he's playing a 30, he's 30-10 guy right now. This is exactly what we're supposed to get with this guy. Rick Carlisle said that when Luka's in the lineup, the Mavericks call more plays.
Okay.
They call plays with when Luka's on the court because you're saying, hey, Luka, do your
sure,
thing.
Sure.
That being said, most of the plays they call are for Luka. Like that, and that's what Rick Carlisle said. We call a lot of plays when Luka's there, and most of the plays are for him. Why? Because he's scoring 28.8 points a game.
Sure.
You call plays for the guy that's scoring 28.8 points a game.
Sure.
Without Luka, Rick Carlisle said the offense is more free-flowing. And kind of they said kind of like when Jason Kidd was running the offense, they, you know, they just said go out there and do your thing. So when Brunson's running the offense, he has a little more free-flowing stuff to do because they're just trying to find the open guy, right? Luka, it's, hey, set everything up so Luka can score. With Brunson, it's, hey, whoever is the open guy, find him. And Kristaps becomes very open with because of the dynamic that he has.
What do you think about this comparison? Because I kind of think that these two texts are from, they're from different people. I kind of think maybe they're related. From the 214, Luka isn't a ball hog. He watches his stats too much. And then from the 469, Luka's Harden 2.0. And the reason why I thought about that is that story you brought to us last week about Rivers picking up the rebound and Harden and get his triple-double. Do you think he's a stat chaser?
I saw at the Clippers game, Kevin, I distinctly remember watching Luka look up at the board and see how many assists he had. And he needed to get one assist to get a triple-double. And instead of taking a wide-open shot, he passed to somebody, and it got picked off by Kawhi Leonard late in the game. And he ended up getting the triple-double anyway, but he didn't need to do that at that moment. The better play would have been something else, but he was trying to get the triple-double. So, and they lost the game. And it was kind of close, right? So, yeah. So it was one of those. So, yeah, I do think that he's trying to put up a certain, he has some goals that he's trying to meet, Kevin. And, you know, I don't know what his contract looks like, but these NBA players, their contracts are very specific on what their averages are at stuff. And so they got to make sure that they continue to do that so they can get it. So I think that he is. I think there's part of him that's doing that. But I'm also interested to know if that's the same thing that's going to happen in the playoffs. Is it a bad habit that you build throughout the regular season because you're trying to keep a regular season average, and then the playoffs change, and now you change the entire dynamic of what you do?
Now, can I throw out one other NBA note for you real quick, because I thought this was fascinating. Did you see that Trae Young had his 10th 40-point or more game over the weekend?
It's nothing to Damian Lillard.
Oh, sure.
Holy crap.
Damian Lillard scoffs at every achievement of the young kids. But he did this before turning 22. I believe he's only the third player in NBA history to have 10 40-plus point games before the age of 22. The other two are LeBron and KD. So while Trae Young is lost on the hopeless island of Atlanta, where they're just terrible, at least he's putting up some crazy stats. So yeah, now it goes. Only players under the age of 22 to put together that many 40-point games: Trae Young, LeBron, and Kevin Durant.
Wow.
LeBron James.
That's not too bad.
Also, and also Kevin Durant, Shippy. So not just LeBron.
LeBron James.
Well, and Kevin Durant when it comes down to
LeBron
it.
LeBron James.
I want to throw this out
if
there.
He's so great. Why isn't that kid saying Kevin Durant?
LeBron James.
Nope. See, he doesn't.
The Sixers are having a weird season, right? Like, things aren't going
well
for them.
What is happening there?
And Philly fans like to boo, right?
Yes.
So Joel Embiid hit a dagger three against Chicago and responded to a Philly crowd that booed him earlier in the game with a shush and a STFU, all right?
Really?
Yeah, and then later he claimed this.
I don't care how it looks. I'm just playing basketball, man. You know, just getting back to myself. Just being a good ass. Just playing basketball, man. Just trying to dominate. Thank you.
He said he wasn't telling the crowd to shut up. He was telling himself to shut up and get back to playing better basketball. And then he said he was just trying to be a good a-hole.
You know what? I'm kind of inclined to believe that. You know my philosophy on this. People who tell stories where they don't look so great, I am inclined to believe what they say. So if that's what he's factoring in there, I think he's telling the truth.
There you go.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where, believe it or not, I have perhaps the saddest Cleveland Browns story yet. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, this is the time of day that we always take the best headlines in the NFL, figure out what they are, dissect them, and do it all. Dissect them?
Okay.
You can say dissect. And then discuss it with you, the Tolo. So we need you to chime in, 877-881-1053, as we go with Kevin and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Did you watch the Academy Awards last night?
No.
Well, you missed a former NFL player win an Academy Award.
I watched the Oscars.
Okay.
I watched a little bit. This is the last thing I saw last night from the Academy Awards, Kevin.
I saw the video of Eminem performing.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible.
Does that count? Yeah. The last thing I saw was that this guy got the animated short.
Yes. And luckily the audio system was working for this, unlike when Eminem performed, and they just couldn't figure that part out. So Matthew A. Cherry, who went to the University of Akron, spent 3 seasons in the NFL on practice squads before walking away in 2007, moved to L.A., pursue his dream of working in Hollywood. So Cherry wrote and directed Hair Love, which is a 7-minute animated short, talks about his black father's attempt to do his daughter's hair for the first time. And so that won for best animated short. He is an Academy Award winner now.
I have not seen it yet, but I do want to check it out. I like the animated shorts, man. They're really strong. They always have good messages.
Plus, even if you hate it, it's 7 minutes long.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't waste that much of your time.
You could watch Bat Dance.
But it won. Nobody should watch Bat Dance. But it won, so that's another thing, too. And I think it's cool that now two former athletes have won Academy Awards, with Kobe and Cherry now both having
the last few years. Yeah,
that's really awesome that they can make a jump like that, connect with the right people to be able to add that to what their resume is. By the way, my daughter is so lucky that my wife now gets her ready for school, because I did a ponytail. That was it. My wife braids it and does all sorts of stuff. I knew how to do a ponytail.
I don't know how to do any of those other things.
All you do is pull it up with a rubber band. That's all I knew how to do.
Yeah.
I learned the top knot, but I was shaky at best with it. Like, by the time she got out of school, it would be falling all over the place. I was like, I'm sorry. She's like, my top knot's all wobbly.
I don't even know what that is. So
yeah, what just happened?
All right, let's move from there to
hair talk.
Other history. I was going to say another history for another black person, and that's interesting in African-American History Month. The Washington Redskins are making Jennifer King the first ever black female full-time assistant coach in the NFL. She would join the staff as an offensive assistant with the Washington Redskins. Ron Rivera had hired King as a wide receivers coaching intern the last 2 summers for the Panthers, and she was also an offensive assistant at Dartmouth over the last year. And so now, moving into the NFL, breaking another barrier right there. Good for her.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man.
But I mean, I still want them to lose, obviously, because it's the Redskins. Mm-hmm. So it's nothing against her progress. Just don't be on the Redskins, and then your team can win.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or the Eagles.
Sorry,
or
I don't ever
Giants,
want you to win a
or the
Super
Patriots,
Bowl.
Or
which
the
would
Steelers,
that
or
would,
the Packers, or the 49ers.
That would break all sorts of barriers if she was on a, you know, as a coach of the Super Bowl team. But you
but
don't.
You
you're trying to. You're trying to glass ceiling her,
yeah,
Kevin.
I am, because she's on the Redskins.
Wow.
I try to glass ceiling all Redskins employees. Has nothing to do with race or gender or anything. It's your choice of Redskins. Also offensive.
The apparently. Washingtons.
Yes.
Is it time for us to start referring to them as the Washington team?
I thought people like moved on from that, but apparently there's still like a groundswell of people who are like, you need to change your name.
Yes, dude.
Dan Snyder's not going to do it. He's like, I don't care what you think.
Still, though.
What makes you think he's going to be like, that's a reason point? What part of Dan Snyder's ownership of this team makes you think, well, he clearly listens to logic and reason?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Exactly. Robert Saleh, who I'm still surprised wasn't named a head coach, Michigan State reached out and were like, hey, would you want to be our head coach? And he goes, I'm going to pass on that. Then he came up with the fake answer of it's because we have unfinished business in San Francisco. When, of course, the real answer is I want to be an NFL coach and not a coach at Michigan State.
Right. Well, and do you know how difficult it must be to recruit at Michigan State?
Oh, my
like you
God.
Have Ohio State and Michigan, and then above you up north, you got Canada. But
You know what I was actually thinking is, especially if you're trying to recruit female athletes, like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not going there.
Well, but for him, like, I think there's a little bit to do with the recruiting process. You know what, man? If you're a defensive coordinator, do you really want, unless you're really committed to going out and being a head coach of a college and being on the recruiting trail all the time, maybe you don't want that yet. You know, maybe you're just like, I don't know. I prefer the opportunities I have in the NFL, so I don't have to worry about all that stuff. I think he has a better opportunity to get a head coaching job in the NFL and doesn't need to go back to college.
Let's talk about opportunities in the NFL and shift focus to Sean Lee. Over the weekend, news came out that Sean Lee wants to play again. However, he was pushed with that question about, what would you think about like retiring and coaching? And he said, I have not explored that yet. I'm focusing on playing as of now. So Sean Lee wants to play. And then he said, I love it in Dallas and I love the Cowboys. I hope it works out for sure. But he's basically, it's kind of like the Witten thing that we had talked about the other day. He wants to play. And if it can be here, he's like, cool. If it can't, he can live with that, too.
So, in this situation, if you're the Cowboys, do you say, go see what you can get and then come back? And if you have a number that's too high, then you go to that team? Or do you say, hey, here's our offer before he even walks out the door?
See, I think it's that one because I want to cut it off before he walks out the door so he knows, hey, you're wanted here.
Yeah, but you can't pay him too much. He already took a pay cut once. Is he going to take another one for you at this last part of his career? I'm sure he's good with his money and everything. But
why do you say that? Just because everything about him as a human?
Yeah, he just seems to be just good at all things, right? So I just don't know if maybe he chooses to stay here for less money, and is that the best thing for him? Just to, hey, I get to play in Dallas again. I don't know, man. Maybe there's another opportunity out there for him. I don't want to see him play in another jersey, honestly.
I'm not here what's best for Sean Lee. I'm here what's best for the Cowboys,
man. I want
man.
Sean Lee to play for $2 million.
Well, that's not going to happen. How would he play for less? He was really good, and you want him to, you know what? I also want him to
I don't know what you're
money.
Doing here, Kevin. You're trying to drive the price up
right.
on him.
Yeah, Sean Lee was a bum last year. You should take a pay cut. That's what I support for all players.
$400.
Well, that's under the league minimum, but we could work something out.
All right, thanks.
Corey, I have terrible news for you.
Crap, not again.
I'm sorry.
The test result came back?
Oh, yeah. Definitely positive. Let's talk about the Cleveland Browns. Swagger has died. Swagger is the... You better not make a joke about this. Swagger is the six-year-old dog who came to the pup who came to their team as a puppy in 2014 as their mascot. He has been battling cancer.
Whoa!
I have to admit, I don't know if I was 100% sure I knew that dogs could get cancer.
Oh, yeah, they definitely can.
Yeah, I knew that.
I knew it too.
But he's
have you had a dog die? Have y'all had
boxers,
dogs die from cancer?
Boxers no. have a high rate of dying of cancer.
That's
don't
terrible.
German Shepherds too?
Thinks I can't remember.
German Shepherds have a high like they typically have a lot of health issues. I don't know if it's directly cancer, but if you get a German Shepherd, like you're kind of acquiring it, you know, knowing like, hey, he's probably gonna have some health problems.
Wow. So he's
I've always wanted one.
With the exception of one game, he's been at every Browns game in the tunnel, out there when the team's getting ready to get hyped up and go out there since 2014. However, I do have amazing news for you.
What?
His legacy will be continued, and he is clearly a Tolo because Swagger's son.
Swagger 2.
Named Bassett?
Even better. Even better. It's named SJ. And in my mind, that's Sean and RJ.
Okay.
All right. In my mind, and by the way, I think he'll be back tomorrow. If you could all do me a really great favor, if you're in the 6 a.m. club or the 5:30 a.m. club, just text in your show is the SJ show. Just over and over.
Just tweet
and
it to
over.
Him. You know he's on social media.
Oh, but I want him to be surprised. If you want to do that too to Sean Sharif, few things in life make me happier than low-key trolling Sean Sharif. So if you wanted to send him this story or know that the Cleveland Browns support him in the SJ show, I would really support that. So
I don't support that.
I support it.
Yes, you do.
No, I can't.
Yes, you do. Lies, lies.
I am happy for Swagger Jr., I presume.
SJ for Sean and RJ.
Okay. Never mind.
But yes, probably.
I'm done talking to you.
All right. Let's go to a tweet from the past. From this weekend, which I guess technically was the past. This is what Jim Irsay tweeted out on Saturday. Colts Nation, the horseshoe is good luck. Between 2006 and 2012, six short years, two home AFC championship wins, and hosting a Super Bowl. As Dylan says, we can't help it if we're lucky. And the beat goes on. Temptations. Peace sign. All right. And people
That's going to be a very obscure dropship. Yeah, that's going to be
I don't know how I'm going to work that in, but
that's
I'll
fine.
Figure out a way.
Temptations. Fine.
Peace sign.
Temptations. Peace sign. So, a couple of things. People are freaking out thinking that means that Andrew Luck is coming back. I'm not sure. It's just not some weird drug-infused bender that Jim Irsay is on. But think about what happened. He tweeted out something that happened more than a decade ago to begin with, and then added a quote from Bob Dylan, and then at the end added a quote on from The Temptations. All of that crammed into, I don't know, like 60 words. Remarkable. And people are like, does that mean Andrew Luck's coming back? Don't forget the history that Jim Irsay has just as a human. I think he thinks it might be 2012.
He's not coming back.
Back again?
No, God. Jim Irsay's.
You should tell a friend.
Luck is back.
Fascinating to me.
Yes, he's back.
Okay. All right. What are we doing here?
Friend. Friend.
Hey, Corey.
Luck is back. 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 Da da da. XFL, 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 XFL.
Let's talk about Shaq Barrett real quick.
Yep.
Transition.
Nope.
Shaq Barrett is willing to take a discount with the Bucks. For two reasons, and one of these reasons is going to make you guys freak out. If other teams offer me more than Tampa, I'm going to look at the places, and if they offer me more than Tampa, I'm going to look at what their taxes are compared to Tampa.
Hey, Texas.
Gentlemen.
No state income tax.
There is no state income tax in Texas, and Shaq Barrett is the first public athlete I can ever recall that said anything about tax rates factoring into his decision.
Jalen Ramsey did. Okay. Remember, Jalen Ramsey went off on like the teams that he would go play for because of no state income tax.
He said clear tax view.
California. That's confusing. Yeah, so Shaq Barrett, he's coming here. That's what I took from that.
I think he thinks that staying in Tampa is better for his career.
Well, nothing's better than zero state taxes.
Oh, wait.
You can have things equal.
Doesn't Florida have no state income tax?
Okay, I said nothing was better than that. I didn't say it was worse. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, is Amari the best option at wide receiver, or could it actually be this guy? Plus, your opportunity to win tickets to go see the Rolling Effing Stones.
Can't wait.
All that next right here in The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.